This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this privilege of studying your word, to hear what you have to say to us. Now, Lord, give us receptive hearing and give us the power to practice the principles we hear, so that you might receive all the praise as we receive the profit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms number 37. Psalms number 37 and verse 4. And the verse reads, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word and to the hearers and doers. Talking about how to receive your desires from the Lord today. How to receive your desires from the Lord. David has insight into this subject of how do I receive my desire from God, or my desires from the Lord. And there's going to be an interesting display of how God truly desires us to desire. He will give us our desires parenthetically if our desires is what he desires. And only because we belong to him and we are the sheep of his pasture, we are his children, we are his servants, we are a byproduct and extension of him, it only seems right and fair that we would be most concerned with what he desires for us. One of the ways to make sure that we get what we desire is to desire what God would want for us. And that comes from his word, which reveals his will, which gives us insight to his way. That's one of the reasons why when we learn the word and learn how to operate and to flow through the knowledge and wisdom gained from the word, we will then know how to pray according to 1 John. If we know how to pray according to the word, then we don't have to ask if it's his will, because his word reveals his will. And if we know his will, then we can operate in his way. It is in that same reality that when we pray according to the word, that God is under warrant to back up his word, back up what he said. And so when we understand that, when we have desires that are based in the word of God, when we have desires that are an extension of the word base that we have from God's word, when we have desires that are distinctly connected with what God wants for us, we can pray and say, God, you said in your word that this belongs to me and that this is open to me and that you desire I have this or I walk in this, etc., etc., etc. But the desires have their base in the Word. One of the things that you look at, because David talks about the rest in the Lord that the saints receive when they understand, as he looks now in the earth realm, and then he later picks the view up to the supernatural, while first he deals with the natural in verse 1, saying, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Now, I want to throw out parenthetically that these evildoers, these people who we classify as evil folk, are not always folk who are evil in nature, but evil in acts. Because there are some saints who are yet practicing some evil doings. Person sitting outside of you might be an evildoer and yet profess to be a Christian. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. It's all in the Word, even from King David himself, who was a godly man, and yet he did some evil doings. Don't think that because you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, that there will not be an occasion that you will become a practicing evildoer. An evildoer is someone who does anything that is opposite or that is not a part of the Word or the will of God. That is an evildoer. All you got to do is look back over your life this past week and ask yourself the question, have I done any evil? And if you say no, you haven't, then you are one, because you're a liar then. So you're an evildoer because you're lying. Now listen to this, and I want to say this because I really think it's important that we understand what's being said. He said, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity. Now there are some folk who specialize, their job is working in vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. Some folk life is not complete till they're messing with yours. Some people just don't have a good day unless they can make you have a bad day. They can upset your nerve. They can do things that somehow disturbs the flow of things in other folks. Those are workers of iniquity. And yet there are things that they do that are against the will of God. They're against the word of God. They're against the way of God. And it seems like they prosper. And then when you're praying and when you're tithing and when you're giving and when you're living right and doing the best that you can, and you see these other folk who are living an ungodly life seem to be prospering, it almost makes you want to say, Lord, what does it profit me when I see the ungodly profiting more than me? But thanks be to God that verse 3 follows verse 2. Look at what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. But if I'm going to trust in the Lord, it's because I've discovered in verse 2 that they shall soon be, who are you talking about, Pastor? The evildoers and the workers of iniquity shall soon be cut down. So I trust in God because I realize that though I'm doing what he wants me to do and it doesn't seem like the profit of what I'm doing in my practicing is prevalent and relevant today, all I've got to do is hold on, because long enough, God's word, God's will, and God's way will come to pass. I trust in the Lord because of who he is, not just because of what he does. Now, in the first focus, verse 1 and 2 deals with the natural realm and those who operate in the natural realm and those who operate opposite of the word of God. God says they're going to be cut down soon. Now you say, well, Lord, I've been knowing these evil folk for a long time. Well, you know, if we had our way, they would have been cut down yesterday. And God is giving them a chance, seeming like till the next day. And the only reason why he's doing that is because one day we were in that position. And he looked beyond our faults and he met our needs and he gave us a chance to get it right. So he's trying to give them a chance to get it right, to come to themselves so that they too might experience his salvation. But if they don't, the end result is they shall soon be, by God's time frame and reference, cut down. And then the Bible says, like the grass, they shall wither as green herbs. And then the focus now again is shifted to God. Trust in, the word in denotes relationship, the Lord. You can't trust him till you know him. And you can't really know him until you start and begin to fellowship with him in relationship. You see, the more you know about God, the more you're able to trust God. It's again likened in the natural to the supernatural. Verse 3 and verse 4 show the difference, if you will, in both realms, and yet there is a likeness. In the natural realm, before you can really trust somebody, you got to know somebody. And then when you know how they operate, you then know whether they will do something or they won't do something based on the knowledge about that person in the relationship that you have with them, because you know them. Somebody comes to you and say such and such and such, and you say, oh, no, that's not so and so. Well, you saying that because you know them, you're in relationship with them, you know what they will and what they will not do as a basis of knowledge. And so it's not a part of their character. Or if you truly know somebody, you are able to trust them to the degree that your knowledge extends. Amen. Somebody asks you to do something and you don't really know, you say, I don't know you. I don't know what you might not do. You know, I mean, you got to realize that trust is based upon knowledge, based upon relationship, depending on what area or arena that relationship is in. And so when you look at this and understand this, you'll see the word says trust in the Lord. And when you trust in him, only then can you do good.
That's right.
And when you do good, the word says, so shalt thou dwell, that's to do well, in the land. And verily or truly thou shalt be fed. Now look at this and comprehend this, if you will, because when you begin to trust in God, when you begin to form in that relationship the understanding of how God operates, that he's not a man that he should lie, that he is faithful to every word he has promised and every word he has stated, that God cannot do opposite of what he has decreed through his own holy writ, then the reality is you can trust him because he said it. Anything written in this word of God, you can go before God. God will honor it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He will not turn. He will not vary from what he has said. He will honor his word. Now, doesn't that build trust in you when you know God cannot lie? Doesn't that build trust in you in God when you know that you trusted him for one thing and then he proved himself, and then you trusted him for another thing and then he proved himself, and you trusted him again and he proved himself? All as you continue to live, begin to realize God backs up what he said. If you trace any failure in your life to anything that has to do with you and God, you're going to find out every time the fault lies within you. God cannot lie. So look at what the word says. Trust in the Lord and do good. It's a conjunction there. If you trust him, you're going to do good. Why? Because you're not trusting man and you're not trusting the natural. You're trusting God who is supernatural, and you're trusting God because he said do it. It doesn't matter if folk don't treat you right back. Your command is to treat them right. And another reason why you ought to treat them right, because if they don't treat you right, they ain't going to be here long. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. So you ain't got no problem treating them good when you know that soon they're going to be. Keep on lying on me. That's all right. Keep on talking about me. That's all right. Keep on treating me bad. That's all right. Because soon, the word says, that's why you can do good. Because you're trusting God, not man. You're doing good because God commands it. Your enemy wants something to eat, feed him. Your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. Your enemy is naked, give him some clothes. Why? Because if they continue in that way, the word says they shall soon. Ask your neighbor, are you going to be cut down soon? Some folk are so mean and hateful they don't want to ask because they know what the answer is. Look at what the word says. It says, so comes after you trust in God and do good. So shalt thou, it's a certainty, it's security. So shalt thou dwell in the land. That means to do well in the land. I'm so grateful I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to be blessed. I'm so glad that God says, if I trust in him and do good while I'm here on this earth, dwelling in this land, I will do well down here. And so when he says that, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and truly, verily, thou shalt be fed. That ain't just talking about food for the physical body. Because you got a spiritual man that needs to be fed. You've got emotions that need to be fed. There are ever areas in your life where that must be a feeding. There must be an area where you are taking in and receiving that nourishes you. And so it literally means in every area of your life, when you do what God says do, it's up to God to take care of all of that. Now when he puts all of these together, and then verse 4 comes into play. He says, delight thyself. Now there's an interesting word that comes after thyself, and the word is also, because here again is where he joins the likeness of the natural to the supernatural. When you delight thyself, the thought here is to have a pliable heart, supple, shapeable, soft. When you delight yourself in something, it means you literally take joy in that thing. It means that it brings joy to you to even think about it. When you delight in something, it is delightful. And every time you think about it, it does something to you. It depending on how you like, it'll make your liver quiver. It'll put a smile on your face when you ought to be crying. It'll make you get chill bumps. Just thinking about y'all act all holier than thou if you want. But I'm trying to tell you, when you really delight in something, it literally captures your heart. It takes control many times of your emotions and the energy that you put in bringing that delight to reality time and time and time again. One question, have you ever been in love? That, I'm trying to help you understand what delight is. Delight is after you've been on the phone many hours, hang up, and you're still smiling. You try to work, but you can't keep your mind on your work because you're delighting in it. Some of y'all ain't been in love so long, I can look at you and tell you need some love in your life. When you delight in something, it's always pleasant and pleasing to the thought processes. You focus meaningful energy on that is delightsome. Now look at this, because here's the reason I'm bringing this up. The Lord said, delight thyself also in the Lord. Some of your delight is a job, it's a house, it's a car, it's your family, it's your loved one, et cetera, et cetera. But whatever you use that kind of energy, that kind of focus, those kind of emotions, those things that make you feel good, God says, do the same thing to me. See, God wants you to want him the way you want the stuff you want down here. He says, when you can't sleep because of something that's exciting to you in the earth realm, when it comes to God, he wants you to be so excited about him that you can't sleep thinking of his goodness. That you go to bed with him on your mind, wake up with him on your mind. If you get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, he's on your mind. He wants the same thing that happens in the natural to happen in the supernatural. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Delight thyself also in the Lord. How some of you get excited about a special day in your life? How some of you still get excited about your birthday? How some of you still get excited about your anniversary day? How you get excited about Christmas? How you get excited about all of it? God says, I want you to delight yourself also in me. Listen at this now, because here's where you first need to understand how to get what you need from the Lord. First thing is, you've got to be sincere. Say sincere. Say it again. One more time. You see, you don't have a problem saying sincere if you're truly sincere about the things of God. Sincerity has to do with a motive that is not opposite of the will of God. Sincere, meaning that this is what you desire of the Lord without motives connected to it that are detrimental to your walk or your talk with God. Sincere, being in that place where God will be pleased at what you want because what you want is what he wants for you. Sincere, that if he doesn't do another thing for you, don't open another door, don't make another way, you still want to be in his presence. It's still all about the Lord, because if you ever focus, I've said it 1,000 times, upon the one who gives the gifts keep coming with the giver. But when you want only the gifts that come from the giver, when the giver realizes you don't want him or her, the gifts will cease. In his presence is fullness of joy. And listen, there are in his presence, in his hands, gifts, presents, all the blessings and benefits connected with him are with him whenever he shows up. God never shows up empty-handed. Some of y'all didn't catch that. I said he never shows up empty-handed. Whenever he's present, his presence are with him. Look at this. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and conjunction, he shall, it's a certainty, you can be secure in that, give thee the desires, plural, of thine heart. Well, now verse 3 says, if I trust him, that means to have faith in him. I know him. I'm comfortable with his history. He's faithful to his word. Then I'm going to do good because I know he's going to back up the good I do. And because I'm doing good because he told me to do good, I'm not looking for my reward from man. I'm looking for it from God. Well, then I begin to delight myself in him, desiring him, wanting his presence, understanding that that comes with his presence is always that benefits and blesses me just because I desire him. Now, when I desire him, listen to this, because I want you to know something else. It means delight thyself also in the Lord means to submit. So not only must I be sincere, but I must also submit. I must take my heart and submit it to God. Take my heart that is pliable. Take my heart that is soft. Take my heart that God can work with. Because how many of you know that before God can give you the desires of your heart, there's some stuff in your heart, Jeremiah 17 chapter says, that is desperately wicked. God's got to get some stuff that's troubling your heart out the way before he can put in your heart what he wants you to have. There are just some things that there is not enough room for the desires of God in your heart and the desires that you have in your heart. Don't fool your heart. Your heart is a container. And all your heart does is keeps the deposits that are made into it. Bible says that a man out of the good treasure of his heart gives good gifts. But a man out of the evil treasures of his heart gives evil gifts. You can't give out what you haven't got in. And if you're hard-hearted and evil-hearted, it's because that's all of the stuff you deposited in your heart. But when you give your heart to the Lord, he goes in and performs a heart surgery. And he cuts out all of that hard, stony, evil stuff out of your heart. And he gets some of y'all need a triple bypass this morning. And when he goes back in, he doesn't put a pacemaker, because the pacemaker can't keep up with the blessings of the Lord. For the word says every day his benefits are new. But he gives you a new heart. A heart that's soft toward him, a heart that's right toward him. And he gives you the ability now to know that what he has in his heart is now placed in your heart. Let me help. See yourself right now on the operating table. You're looking through the spirit right now so you can view this. There you are. You already prepped all of your little stuff on. You got everything on. You're there. Your chest cavity is open now. God is dealing in your heart right now. He has been spending hours cleaning out your heart. You're going to catch that on your way home.
Because before he can put his desires in your heart, he's got to clean out your heart, because your heart has got to be worthy to have his heart. And while he cleans out and got your heart all opened up, now listen, because this is supernatural, he can do this like this. Your heart is wide open. So what he does when he's gotten you all the way that he wants you to, he reaches in his heart. I'm trying to help somebody. He reaches in his heart, and everything he desires for you, he takes it out of his heart and he puts it in your heart. And when he gets through, he sews you all up again. And before you know it, when you recover, you want what he wants and he wants what you want. And before you know it, it's delivered to you. Woo! I wish I had somebody here. That's when God gives you a brand new. Listen, he don't have to always give you a brand new heart. He can just clean out that dirty one you got. That's why David said, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit. Listen, I'm not through yet. Listen, so you've got to be sincere. And then you've got to submit your will, your heart, to God. Saying, God, this is what I want, but if what I want don't line up to your standards, it looks good today, but if it won't be good tomorrow. God, this is what I think I want, but I know you know what's best for me. I was talking to Jeremiah the other day, and Jeremiah said, don't let your heart fool you. A whole lot of folk are messed up right now because they followed their hearts. How many of you wish you would have not followed your heart at some point in time in your life? Look, just turn with me right quick to Jeremiah. I just want you to see what Jeremiah says himself in the 17th chapter. Look at what he says in verse 9. The heart. Somebody says the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Look at what the first word says in verse 10. I, who is this? The Lord. He search. Oh, that's what the old saints meant when they say, search me, Lord. Search me. If you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out. Oh, I wish I had some folk in here who knew what I was talking about. So if Jeremiah says your heart is wicked, it is desperately wicked, it's deceitful, how then can you think your heart qualifies to make decisions that are eternally based? And that's why so many times your heart and your head have conflict. Your head is saying, watch yourself. Your heart is saying, just go head on. Your head is saying, wait, one and one is two. We getting the wrong number here. Something ain't adding up here. But your heart is saying, oh, just don't worry about it. Everything gonna be all right. Your head is saying, look at the signs. I'm trying to show you that you're going down the wrong road. But the heart is trying to tell, oh, that's all right. Just over the, all of us make mistakes. He beat you all upside the head before you say, I do. The head is saying, don't be no fool. Marriage ain't gonna make him change his mind. If he beating you now and you ain't his, what's gonna happen when he got papers on you? Oh, you ain't got to say, man, I know I'm right. I mean, your head and your heart aren't at peace because your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Look at this word again now. Sincere.
submissive. But there's one more thing you got to do, because you might be right on the brink of a breakthrough and still don't get it because you're not this last thing that you ought to be. And verse 5 reveals this. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he, say he, not you, he shall bring it to pass. Be steadfast.
Yes.
You've got to be sincere. You've got to be